Morning. Let me ask you guys something. Have you ever gone through your day and just been tired all day long and just like not had any energy at all? Yeah, exactly. Or how about, have you bounced from meeting to meeting to meeting until you just cannot take it anymore? Or what about when you go to lunch and you eat a big meal and there's that lull right after lunch? Can you really get anything done during that time? Doesn't a 20-minute power nap in the middle of your day sound great? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, which I've heard of some yeses, some amens, hallelujahs, if you've answered yes, then there's a solution for you, and it's from a company called Metro Naps. They make what's called an energy pod. An energy pod is a futuristic bed that allows you to take a 20-minute power nap in your office in the middle of the day. Research says that a 20-minute power nap in the middle of your day will increase productivity for the rest of your day. So if you're someone who wants to be a productive worker, if you want to increase your productivity, talk to your employer. Have them install one or more energy pods in your office. Or, if you're in the New York area, stop by the Empire State Building on the 22nd floor at the Metro Nap Nap Center. Take a 20-minute power nap for a mere $14. So if you want to increase productivity at your workplace for you and your colleagues, pick up an energy pod and take a 20-minute power nap every afternoon. Thank you.
So what do you think? Sounds like a pretty good deal, huh? 20-minute power nap? Doesn't sound that bad. Is that what we're missing in our lives, in our daily rhythm? 20-minute power nap? You know, it doesn't sound that bad, but honestly, the idea of having to really quickly fall asleep so I can wake up in 20 minutes and then be all that more productive the rest of the day, it doesn't sound all that relaxing to me, right? But I think it does point to this need that we have in our lives, that we need to rest. We need some type of rest. Many of us are exhausted. We're pushing ourselves faster and harder and farther than we're meant to be pushed. We need rest. Why are we so addicted to activity? Why do we complain about our schedules, but then schedule just as many things the next week? What is it that we're missing? Well, I think the answer is simple, or at least part of the answer is Sabbath. Real rest. The word for Sabbath in Hebrew comes from the word to stop. It's also related to the word for the number seven, the number of completeness. Stopping. Completeness. Sabbath. This theme is woven throughout Scripture. It begins in the first chapter of Genesis. It reaches its climax in the last chapter of Revelation. Real, true rest. So today we're starting a four-week series talking about Sabbath. What is it? Where does it come from? How do we get it in our lives? When do we do it? How do we do it? How does God justify resting when there's so much work to be done? What we're going to find out is that Sabbath is about who God is. It's not about what we need to live healthy lives. It's not about making sure we get our rest so we can be super productive at work, or we can be nice to our families, or so that we can stay awake during sermons, though that's a good thing. We don't need a power nap. We need a powerful God. And Sabbath reminds us of that powerful God, of who that God is. On the Sabbath, we remember to rest, but we rest to remember. We rest to remember God. Next week, we're going to get really practical and talk practically about what this looks like in our lives. Do we still have to take a whole day? What does it look like? How does Sabbath work for us? The following week is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk as we celebrate the anticipation and excitement of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. We're going to talk about how all of history is moving toward a final Sabbath rest. And then on Easter, we're going to wrap up this series talking about the resurrection and seeing how the resurrection of Christ, how that decisive event provides the foundation for true rest in our lives, now and in the future. But this week, we're going to start by looking at why God commanded Sabbath. We're going to talk about the reasons behind Sabbath. We'll talk about why it's so hard for us to rest, what stands in our way, and we'll see how God's concept of Sabbath addresses those deals. We talk a lot about what we can do to foster our relationship with God. Well, my prayer this morning is that we will find out how not doing anything plays a big part in fostering that relationship with God. So to start off, we're going to look at the first place that God commanded his people to observe the Sabbath. It comes up in the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment, and this is found in Exodus 20. That's Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. So I'll start by reading those passages. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the first sentence of these passages give the basic pattern for this structure. Remember the Sabbath day because it is holy. And the rest of these verses kind of unpack what is meant by remembering the Sabbath day and why it is holy. So apparently to remember the Sabbath is to not do any work. Pretty simple. Now notice that remembering isn't a cognitive activity. It's not just, oh yeah, that Sabbath. That's not remembering. Remembering means doing something. And in Scripture, whenever you find the command to remember, it's always tied with an activity. Remembering means doing something. And for Sabbath, the activity is actually inactivity, not doing something. For Sabbath, it's simple. 6 days you work, the seventh you don't. Then in the last verse, we get the reason behind that Sabbath. Because God rested after he created the earth. So our resting, our observance of the Sabbath, is mimicking God's activity in creation. The Sabbath reminds us something about God, about what he did. But what does it remind us? We need to go back to Genesis to find that out. Let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 2. And we'll read about God's rest. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Well, that's pretty simple. Why did God rest? His work was done. He'd finished his work. He didn't rest because those 6 days of creating had really worn him out. He didn't rest because he had another week ahead of him, and if he didn't rest on the seventh day, he'd never be ready for Monday morning. He didn't rest because, you know, that creation came out pretty well, and he deserved a little mini vacation. He rested because the work was done. There wasn't anything left to do. So why do we rest? We rest to remember that God's work in creation is done. We rest to remember that God created us. For most of us, this idea of work being done is completely foreign, though. This isn't our regular experience that there's nothing left to do. There's always something to do. If it's not something left to do with our family, then it's something at work. If work's going okay, maybe there's a Bible study we need to prepare for. If everything at church is okay, then there's another crisis at home. And there's always something to take care of, always something that we have to be doing. There's an old song that says, a cowboy's work is never done. But that's pretty much true for most of us. Our work is never done. I have this vivid memory early in Rachel's and my marriage of a Saturday afternoon. We'd just recently been married. We were living in Sunnyvale, and we packed up a blanket with some books and some snacks, and we'd gone to a park, laid out the blanket. We're sitting there. I'm reading, and we're talking and snacking a little bit. And I remember distinctly thinking, there's nothing else I should be doing. This is all I have to do right now. And it was this mind-blowing experience. I'd been a student most of my life, and for students, there's always something to do. You're always behind, or you could get ahead, or there's reading you haven't done. Students don't rest, they only procrastinate. But I wasn't a student anymore. I'd graduated. That was done. I had a job, but I was just getting started. There weren't a lot of responsibilities that kind of followed me into the weekend, so I didn't have anything to do for my job. We didn't have kids. We weren't involved in a lot of activities. There was nothing I should be doing but sitting in a park on a Saturday afternoon. I felt like it was the first Saturday that I'd ever experienced. In hindsight, it may have been the last Saturday that I ever experienced as well. See, these days, most of us never have that feeling that there's nothing else to be doing, that all of our work is done. If we do rest, it's only so that we can get up again and work just that much harder when we do work. This is the idea behind Metro Naps and the Energy Pod, which, by the way, is a real company. You can really talk to your employers about this. Have a little rest in the afternoon so you can be that much more productive and just go get them during the day. And this is the way a lot of us think about rest. We rest so that we can work. The problem with that, though, is it makes work the priority. It means that we're designed to work and we should be working all the time, every minute. But the sad reality is we just can't keep that up, so we have to rest so we can get back up again and work and be that much more productive and get that much more done. Why do we think that way? Why do we think we need to rest so we can work? Why does it seem like we have to work so hard to get what we want, to be where we want to be? I think part of the reason is because we want it all. We want everything. We want exciting careers and perfect marriages and dynamic churches and compassionate friends. We want loving families, obedient children, generous parents, stimulating hobbies. We want to reach our full potential. We want everything out of life. And we think that if I want my life to look this way, then I got to make it happen. If I want to be here in 10 years, I got to do this, 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 and this to get there. If I want to get into a good college, if I want to get a good job, I got to do these things to make that happen. If I want my kids to live decent lives, to get into good schools and get good jobs and marry good people, then I got to make it happen. I got to do this. It's all up to me. In all of this, what we're doing is we think that we need to create ourselves. We think we need to determine what the shape of our life is going to look like. We need to be the creators. But Sabbath is different. It's not about creating yourself. It's about remembering that God created us. And on some level, I think this makes us uncomfortable. Because come on, the task of handling my life, of making sure that it looks the way I want it to look, is a little too important to be trusted to a God who may not even be there when you get right down to it. Thanks, God, but no thanks. I'll take care of this one on my own. I'll make sure my life looks the way I want it to look. I think the Israelites probably thought the same way when they first heard this command. At first, I don't think Sabbath sounded like a gift to them. Think about their lives. Think about these people to whom this command was originally given. They're an agricultural economy. They live off of what they can produce, off of what they can farm. And God tells them to take a day off every week and do nothing. Do nothing for your crops. Now, it might be true that you could be a better computer programmer or a better lawyer if you take a whole day off and do nothing. That you might actually be more productive. But that's not true for farming. That's not how agriculture works. Farming doesn't take a day off. In fact, it's irresponsible to take an entire day and not pay attention to your fields. Think about how the nations around Israel would have thought of these people who took a whole day and just left their fields without doing anything. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. So God gives these people this command not to say, this is the way to be the best farmer, but to remind them about who He is, to remind them of their relationship with Him, to remember that God created them and God's going to sustain them. So do you really believe this? Is this really true in your life? Do you believe that God created you and He's the one that's going to sustain you? So much of my own life is lived under the false impression that I need to create myself, that it's all up to me, I have to get where I want to be. I need to make my life look the way I want it to look. It's so easy for me to forget that God created me and His work is done. Do you feel that way? Like you have to make sure you get to be where you want to be? Audrey Hepburn did. She once said, "Are you bored with life? Then throw yourself into some work you believe in with all your heart. Live for it. Die for it. And you will find happiness that you had thought could never be yours." And many of us live this way, throwing ourselves into work that we believe in with all our hearts, or at least work that we've convinced ourselves that we believe in with all our hearts. And yet this lifestyle ignores the basic fact that most of us came here this morning to acknowledge or investigate that there is a God who created us. That is true. That we don't have to create ourselves. So the first reason behind Sabbath is to remember that God's work in creation is done. We rest to remember that God created us. And that's the first place in the Old Testament where God commanded His people about Sabbath. But now we need to look at the second place. After Moses gave the Ten Commandments, the following parts of Exodus are mostly him working out kind of the details about what these commandments would look like in their lives. So eventually we get again to the Sabbath and we get some more details. This comes up in Exodus 31, and there's kind of a new reason here about why God's people should honor the Sabbath. I'm going to read Exodus 31, starting in verse 12. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" And again in verse 16, "The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant." So in the first listing of the Ten Commandments, Sabbath is linked to creation. But now we have an additional reason. Now God says that you are to honor my Sabbaths as a sign of the covenant. Now these are really important words to Jewish ears, sign and covenant. Covenant was the basic fundamental way that the Old Testament describes God's relationship to His people. This is how He related to them. And God gave His people signs to remember the covenant, to identify the covenant. Circumcision was one of the most basic signs, but the Sabbath was one of the most observable ways to remember this covenant. As Scott talked about last week, by Jesus' time, Sabbath observance had become for the Jewish leaders a kind of badge of honor to declare that they were true to this covenant. But they had twisted it around. Sabbath was a way to remind God's people that He had chosen them. So the second reason we rest is to remember that God has chosen us. We rest to remember that God has chosen us. The Sabbath reminds God's people of their basic identity. And we have these types of things, labels and identifiers, things that kind of define the basic stuff about us. Think about how you conceive of yourself. Who are you? A man? A woman? A child? A student? A mother? A father? An engineer? A lawyer? How do you think of yourself? What are those labels that you apply to ourselves? As much as we don't like labels and stereotypes, those things are pretty important for our society. It's natural when you first meet somebody to want to know a few basic things about them. When I first meet a student, my first questions are always, "Where are you from? What are you studying? What year are you? What are your interests?" And those answers provide kind of a framework for me to get to know somebody on a deeper level. So we look for these identifiers that tell us something basic about somebody. And the idea behind Sabbath is that the most basic thing, the first thing you need to know about this person, is that he's a member of God's chosen people. Sabbath identified this person as a Jew. So not honoring the Sabbath wasn't just about not obeying God. It wasn't just disobedience. Not honoring the Sabbath was about renouncing your very identity. Jews don't work on the Sabbath. That's part of what it means to be a Jew. Jews don't work on the Sabbath. So if you work on the Sabbath, what you're doing is saying, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a part of these people. That's not important to me. By working on the Sabbath, you're declaring that you don't identify yourself as one of Yahweh's chosen people. You're rejecting that community. I moved from Connecticut to Texas in the middle of high school. And that was a pretty big transition. Going into that, I was kind of aware that there's a particular identity around being Texan that I was going to come across. And I decided pretty early that I wanted nothing to do with that identity. I decided I wasn't going to wear cowboy boots. I wasn't going to listen to country music. I wasn't going to drive a truck. I decided I may live in Texas, but I'm not going to be a Texan. All right? Now, if you know anything about Texas, you know that that's not exactly a very popular way to live in Texas. That goes against some of the kind of Texas mentality. So in some ways, it was kind of an affront to my community to say, I may live here, but I'm not a Texan. Now, the great irony of it is for me is that a few weeks ago, I actually bought my first pair of cowboy boots. Rachel and I have been getting into horseback riding, and I needed boots. So I actually now own a pair of cowboy boots. I almost wore them this morning, but I thought that'd be too much. So this type of affront, though, is just a fraction of the sense that got communicated for the Jews when somebody didn't honor the Sabbath. It's a slap in the face. It's saying that I'm not a part of this community. So who are you? Think about the labels. Think about your basic identity. For Old Testament Jews, honoring the Sabbath made a clear statement to themselves and the people around them that this is who I am. First and foremost, I'm a member of God's people. Who are you? We live in a culture where we love busyness. How does that slide make you feel? A little stressed out? Does that feel like your life? Sometimes I think in this area that I need to be busy to feel okay about myself. If someone asks me how I'm doing and I say, you know, I'm doing great. It's a really relaxed week. I don't have a lot going on. Just spending a lot of time resting. Then something must be wrong with me. I must not be working hard enough. I don't know the rules if I'm rested, if I have a light week. That's not the way things work around here. But if I say, oh man, it's been such a busy week. I've got this going on. I've got things every night and I've got this big project due, and I've got meetings every day of every week, and my cat is sick, and my dog is dying, and my family's a mess. Now I belong. Now I'm part of this culture. I feel better about myself. Now, that's not to say we should never talk about the things, the hard things, the stressful things going on in our lives, because that's useful, and we can come alongside of each other as a community. But sometimes we just play into our culture's activity addiction. And we show off our frenzy like some kind of trophy to make ourselves feel important. But Sabbath is a way to say that busyness isn't what makes me important. That's not who I am. My busyness isn't who I am. Sabbath rest reminds me that we're chosen by God. God makes me important. My membership in His body, in this body, that's the most basic thing about me. We rest to remember that God has chosen us. Now, sometimes in our religious circles, though, we can even twist this around. As I said, the Jews in their day decided that Sabbath for them was a way to declare that they were choosing God. They used it as a way to show how serious they were about God. But they had it backward. It was Yahweh who chose them. And we can get confused in the same way. It's possible to use Sabbath or Bible study, or coming to church, or any church activity as a way to demonstrate to others how serious we are about our faith, how serious we are about this whole Christian thing. Even the language we use about coming into a relationship with God can demonstrate this. We ask Jesus into our heart. We invite Jesus to be our Lord. We put Jesus on the throne of our hearts. The way we talk about it, you might think that we're electing Jesus to be our Lord over all the other candidates that are running for the position. But Jesus isn't a candidate running for president of our lives. Jesus is a king. The people don't elect their king. The people submit to their king. We don't elect Jesus our Lord, we submit to Jesus as our Lord. And we rest in that submission. We rest there, knowing that he's Lord. So Sabbath isn't a way for us to prove that we've chosen God over all the other competing things. Sabbath is a way to remember that God has chosen us. We rest to remember that God has chosen us. Well, so far we've looked at two different reasons for remembering the Sabbath. The first one was linked back to creation. Second one had to do with covenant and our identity as God's people. There's one more passage we need to look at before we're done here that gives a slightly different take on why God commanded the Sabbath. So after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, right before God's people are about to enter the promised land, Moses decides to give the people a collection of sermons to kind of prepare them for that new season of life. And part of what he does in doing that is recount the Ten Commandments that he'd given them 40 years earlier. Now, this version is mostly identical to the earlier version, but there's a few differences and a significant difference in the way he talks about Sabbath. So let's look at Deuteronomy 5. And I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your daughter, nor your son, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. So far it's pretty much the same. Here's the difference. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So the first listing of the Ten Commandments linked Sabbath with creation. But here in the second listing, Sabbath is linked with the Exodus. Sabbath is linked with the idea that God reached in to save his people. He rescued them from slavery. He redeemed them. So the final reason behind Sabbath, we rest to remember that God redeemed us. And this moment of redemption for the Jews was the defining moment for their national identity. It was when God saved his people out of Egypt that the Jews became a nation. The text reminds them that they weren't an attractive people. These were a bunch of slaves. They didn't have the things going for them that the people in this room have going for them. And yet God saved them. God rescued them. If Judaism was born when God called Abraham out of Ur, then the nation of Israel was born when God called his people out of Egypt. That was their moment. And Sabbath was meant to remind them of that moment, to remind them that God created them as a nation, that God redeemed them. Well, I think it's helpful for us to think about our own national identity. In this country, we celebrate July 4th every year as a kind of commemoration of the defining moment for us as a nation. That moment occurred in 1776, around the date of July 4th, when a group of men got together and they wrote a document saying that though we're currently subjects of a certain king, we are hereby dissolving that association and declaring that we are now establishing a new nation. We call this document the Declaration of Independence. We celebrate it every year, and our celebration is called Independence Day. Well, the story of the Jews isn't that different. They were subjects of a foreign king. They lived under oppression. They eagerly desired independence. And eventually they got it. They became their own nation. But at the same time, their story is completely different. We declared our independence. God reached in with a mighty arm and rescued them. We created this nation. God created their nation. We redeemed ourselves. God redeemed them. Every July 4th, we celebrate our redemption and we call it Independence Day. Well, every week, they celebrated their redemption. They called it Sabbath. You might think of it as Dependence Day. So is it any wonder that we find it so hard to acknowledge our dependence? That independence is bred in us, is taught us, that we should be this way. We should feel this way. That we want to turn Sabbath into something that we use for our own empowerment, to make us more efficient, to make us more productive. Is it any wonder that we'd prefer a power nap over a powerful God? I need to rest so I can work harder. Sabbath helps me make it on my own. We desperately want to be self-sufficient. None of us like crutches. We don't like to feel like we can't do things. Nobody wants to be dependent. We can make it. Resting is like an acknowledgement of failure. It's like acknowledging that I just can't handle all the things that the world is throwing at me. I have to rest. It's a failure in our way of thinking. But the truth is we can't handle it. We can't make it on our own. And Sabbath reminds us of that. We stop working to remember our dependence on God. And this can be a really hard thing for me as a pastor. Even as I was writing this sermon, I had to stop at one point and say, you know, am I even doing any of the things that I'm planning to say to these people? I get so caught up in the worry of preparation and getting it right. Am I stopping to rest? Sometimes the act of writing a sermon is completely overwhelming to me. I think, what an audacious activity to stand in front of people and preach. How can I, with mere words, hope to affect somebody's relationship with the living God? But other times I get caught up in how I can do it. If I just work hard enough, if I just put the right amount of time in, if I just find the right words, if I just get the right illustration, if I just say it the right way, if I just organize things the right way and make it flow well, I can do it if I just work hard enough. I. But I've forgotten about God. I've forgotten that God redeemed me, and He's in the process of redeeming me. I've forgotten that God redeemed you, and He's in the process of redeeming you. It's God that works in our lives, not sermons or music or books or Bible studies, but God. He redeemed us, and He's in the process of redeeming us. So this is the why of Sabbath. God commanded Sabbath for His people as a reminder of their dependence on Him. Sabbath reminds us that God created us. Sabbath reminds us that God chose us. And Sabbath reminds us that God redeemed us. This morning we've been looking only at the Old Testament. We've been talking about the Israelites, talking about how for them, Sabbath was a reminder of who Yahweh was in their lives. We'll talk next week more about the relationship between us and the Old Testament and how all that works. But for us, we get to experience Sabbath in a whole new way. We get to experience Sabbath as what it points to, because Sabbath points to the person of Jesus Christ. It points to Him. Sabbath reminds us that Jesus took part in our creation, and Jesus began our recreation. Sabbath reminds us that Jesus chose us out of His love for us. Sabbath reminds us that Jesus redeemed us, that God saving His people from Egypt was only a foreshadowing of the redemption that He had planned through Jesus. Sabbath points us to Jesus, and our rest is in Him. So tomorrow, when you go to work and you have a big lunch, and right around 1:30, 2 p.m., you start to get a little bit drowsy, you might go to www.metronaps.com, forward it to your boss, and see if taking a power nap might make you a little bit more productive. But just know that that's not Sabbath. Sabbath is about dependence. The very act of resting forces us to recognize that we are dependent on God. It's not all up to me. I can't do it. God reminds me to rest, and when I rest, I remember. I remember God.